afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Thursday, January 10th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. I guess you've had a wonderful day.
Every day is a wonderful day.
I like to hear that. That's good positive thinking. I don't agree with you, but I like to hear that. Good for you. Good for you.
Every day I open up my eyes, I'm thankful for another day. So you have to make it a great day.
Well, you know, when you stop and think about it, we have a warm place to sleep, food in our bellies, and clothes in our back. What else do we need?
We need gold to go higher.
There you go. Well, I hope it is.
Well, you know, it's taken another breather today. $1,286.80 down $7.40. We have silver down 20 cents today at $15.63. Platinum was down 5 at $823. Palladium was down most of the day, but it was able to eke out a dollar to the upside at $1,337. The USDX today reversed itself. It was weaker earlier in the day. It is now up 0.38 at 95.56. Crude oil was up 20 cents at 52.56, and the paper markets look like they had another up day. Let me go ahead and bring those up. The Dow was up 120 points at 23,999. The NASDAQ was up 28 at 6,986. And the S&P was up 11 at 2,596. 10-year yield, 2.73%. Euro, 115, down 0.48. Bitcoin had a nasty day, down almost 10%. You know, people are feeling good. People are feeling we live in a wonderful world. A government shutdown is only making the fear and greed index stronger. So we're at number 31. A couple of weeks ago, we were at 5 and 6. So government shutdown, fear and greed, moving on up. So I don't know if that's any indicator, but hey, we'll take it for what it is. You had something
one day at a time. Yeah, I want to share something. One day at a time is all we can do anyway, right? And we're watching this nation unfold and fall apart around this in a lot of different ways, but we'll discuss it in a little bit. But I want to share something Thomas Jefferson said a while back, obviously, that ties into what you've been saying ever since I've known you, and we all know this probably, but he said, people cannot be self-governing and free unless public servants are dependent upon being paid with something the people produce. When the people become dependent upon their paper, their servants' print, the roles of master and servant are reversed. Did you catch that?
Yes, I did.
I mean, he said it very clearly. As long as the people are producing and the servants depend on them to pay them, people are free and independent. But when the servants print the paper and we pay them back with that, we use that, we become the servants ourselves. And by golly, that's right on the money. You've been saying that for a long time.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of that, there was and this is your part. I'm going to bring something for you. This is by an Armstrong Williams. This is out of The Hill. And the headline just caught my attention. Spiritual illness is crippling America.
Yes.
And I just thought, yes, this is what we talk about every day, about the lack of morality, the lack of spirituality, the lack of faith. And a lot of the problems that we're experiencing is all related to that. Everything
comes. Well, I just posted. Well, it sure does. It's all spiritual.
Yep.
It is.
It is.
And Alexander Solzhenitsyn made a speech, and I just posted it to my website yesterday. People need to go to American Minute or Church News and read this speech that is given in Russia by a current-day speaker. Then Solzhenitsyn repeating his speech on video on this. And Solzhenitsyn said that the West is going to fall. Now, people pay attention to this. Because of, and I'm going to paraphrase, this is exactly right, too much personal freedom to do whatever comes to their mind.
Sure.
Immoral or not, if they call freedom to be immoral, it ceases to be freedom and becomes tyranny. Liberty is freedom with moral restraints. Personal freedom, Bill, is not my right to steal from you or rape you or lie about you or curse you or become a transgender. That's not freedom. That leads back into slavery. Freedom and liberty are two different things, and this is all paraphrased, like I said, but his speech made the point that the West will collapse because of too much personal freedom to do whatever they feel is right. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are.
Yes, it is.
You know, personal liberty, personal freedoms need to be governed by moral concepts. If you lose that, you've lost everything.
Right.
You've lost everything. Is that fair?
That's fair. Well, I believe President Trump is now visiting the southern U.S. border.
Yes.
As the government shutdown is continuing, Butch.
Yes.
And, you know, there was headlines. I don't know if anybody truly believed this or not, but if you go to the Drudge website and you look at the headlines at the very top, and it's in red, it shows that President Trump insists he never promised Mexico would pay directly.
Yep, I read that article.
And
unless I'm misunderstood him, that's what he said several times.
Yes, but I think most of us knew. I think most of us knew that Mexico was never going to pay for it. I mean, we knew that. The taxpayer.
What kind of authority do we have? Well, what kind of authority do we have to tell them we got to pay for a wall?
Right.
You know.
And even with the new trade agreement with Mexico, that hasn't even been ratified yet, is my understanding. I could be wrong, but it's my understanding that hasn't even been, you know, it might not even be in the works until 2020 plus. It might not even be in the works at all.
At all. I've been reading articles that Mexico is not going to go through with it. I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know, Melody. I don't know. It's just in chaos. And I don't want to spend forever on the wall. I know everybody gets tired of hearing that. But, you know, whenever that day when Trump met with some senators, including Pelosi, in private, and he asked about the wall, and she said no, and he got up and walked out. He just got up and left, said, you know, bye-bye, well, I'm out of here. So I don't know if it's bravado or if he's serious. I really don't know. Maybe he gets up in the corner where he knows he can't back up. I really don't know. But then now they're talking about the emergency declaration again. And he may declare a state of emergency, and this was on some different programs today, that Trump is discussing during the national emergency. Now, I'm not a constitutional scholar by any means, but if I read it right, he can't do that. Now, I don't know whether, again, I'm not a scholar by any means, but Article 2 says he can't do that. And again, it may be something I don't catch, but either way, if he declares a national emergency and on the wall situation, what will be next? I mean, what will happen then? I wish I had an answer to that. I mean, I really do. Especially seeing how, we'll get this made in a minute if you want to get more detail, but Central American migrants are heading towards the border in record numbers, Melody. Record numbers. They're not taking it seriously.
Why should they take it seriously?
I agree.
Why should they take it seriously? And who is funding all of this? You know, it's one thing to want border security. It's another thing. But let's take a look at the laws. My question is, we have this young police officer, terrible tragedy, killed by an illegal immigrant. Okay? He was stopped twice before. DUI, I don't know what his other charges were, but the very first one, I believe, he got stopped for a DUI, but the California Sanctuary City prevented that. My question is, if you're in this country illegally, that's a federal offense, correct? Am I wrong?
Should be, yep, it is, yes.
So if you make, and you get picked up for doing number two, you're already in the country illegally once, so now your next offense would be two strikes. Wouldn't that be a federal case where the feds should be able to come in and prosecute that guy throw them to take them to Guantanamo and throw away the key? You do a few of those, and I'll guarantee you it's going to stop a lot.
Well, but so in California,
why aren't the federal laws
being upheld?
Why aren't the federal laws? They can take these cases away from the state, whether they're sanctuary city or not.
I agree.
So why aren't they going in there and getting these people? So there's a lot of things that these laws could be enforced, and they're just not.
Well, obviously, there's a plan behind this, but, you know, this USA Today report, I want to share this because it's kind of important. In his first ever Oval Office primetime address, President Donald Trump argues funding for his long-promised border wall needed on security and humanitarian grounds and urged Democrats to acknowledge the crisis. President Donald Trump's efforts to halt migrant caravans and limit asylum have been deterred. Central American minors and members of their families have from rushing toward the USA, according to data released by U.S. Customs and Border Protection on Wednesday. Border Patrol agents apprehended 27,518 members of family units in December, the highest monthly total on record. Now, this after Trump's been in office 2 years, saying he's going to stop it, there's no more crossing. They almost 28,000, a record in December. The figure has steadily climbed for 5 months, even as Trump made stopping migrant caravans the centerpiece of his midterm election strategy and drove Washington into a partial government shutdown over funding for his border wall. Those caravan members, most of whom tried to exercise their legal right to request asylum, in the USA contributed to a third straight month of more than 60,000 migrants being detained at U.S. ports of entry and arrested in vast stretches of borders and border in between. Melody, something is wrong here. All the rhetoric, all the thumping on the desk in the podium and saying, we're going to do this, we're going to stop. It hasn't stopped. It's got worse. And don't tell me that Trump doesn't know this and that the senators don't know this. It's getting worse. In a minute, we'll cover the fact that they're bringing in diseases with them. But they're still coming across. I know this gets old, but by golly, Melody, it affects all of us. You live in Maryland. I live in West Virginia. I don't care how far you are from the border. It still affects us, doesn't it?
The thing of it is, you know, I saw Ron Paul make a statement, and I've said this statement, and this is why I say again, enforce the laws that we have on the books. If you want to stop this problem, you stop the funding.
There you go.
You don't send an additional $5 billion to Mexico and an additional $5 billion to the Latin American countries.
Well, why didn't it take that $10 billion total or whatever and give it to Trump for his wall?
And, you know, the wall, you know, again, I don't know. You know, I'm not a border expert. Everybody thinks walls help. I'm sure it would. But I don't think that's the heart of the problem.
It isn't.
So, you know, by throwing billions of dollars at something that isn't even, and I'm certainly not standing by Pelosi and Schumer. But let's look at the problem. What fixes the problem? It isn't the wall going to fix the problem.
No, it isn't.
Stop the funding.
I totally agree. Absolutely right. And Schumer and Pelosi both said themselves that we need the wall. In the past, they've said that. This is political games. This is all political tit for tat type thing. This is all it is. This is not anything to do with constitutional rights or duties or protecting the country, Melody. It's all about a political power play and which party might get to run the Senate again next election. This is all about that. And the more chaos they cause, the better they seem to like it. It's really insane.
It is insane. You know, I did a program with James Corbett. It'll be aired tomorrow, and we were talking about the borders, and I don't want to say what's on the program tomorrow, but, you know, he says, well, you know, here in Japan, you know, we got some really strict borders. I mean, that's just a common sense. Well, that's how the rest of the world is, and we just can't really figure out what's going on, what the big deal is. You do what you have to do to secure the borders, period. Stop the funding. You know, if they cross the borders, arrest them. Throw them in jail. Don't let them out.
And make them earn their keep. If they want to work, put them to work on the streets and on the roads. Make them do something
legal.
To pay for their keep.
Make them legal.
Exactly.
You know, what part don't people understand? That's why legal, illegal. How hard is that to understand?
Of course, they're undocumented immigrants now. They're not illegal aliens. But, you're being very spiteful here and very biased. You know that, right? I mean, you're a racist, probably. I mean, you know, you're telling the truth. You can't do that.
And I have compassion for these people, but I don't have compassion for people who do things wrong, who do things illegally.
No.
That's like supporting, that poor guy, stole the car because he didn't have a car to drive to work. Oh, I feel sorry for him. Let's not prosecute him. What he did was illegal. There's no gray area.
It's the same thing.
There's no gray area between legal and illegal.
As I said before, if I went to a grocery store, my family's starving, and I went in, I started filling my pockets full of food, and I got caught, would they punish me for that, or would they say, oh, let him go because his family's hungry?
Hey, there's countries in Saudi Arabia. Hey, if you steal something, they cut your hand off.
That's exactly right. Yep. Now, we're not advocating that, but it's time to take a stand against this. Now, this article come in, tuberculosis, flu infections rampant as a number of sick migrants surge at the border. Now, folks, this is very serious. Border authorities are referring 50 people a day. 50 people a day for urgent medical care, including tuberculosis. That was almost wiped out in this country, folks. It's coming back. It really is. Flu and even pregnant women about to give birth, a top official said Monday, saying it's unlike anything they've ever seen before. Most of those in need of care are children, and a staggering 20% are under age 5, having been dragged along for the trip by parents who, in many cases, are hoping to use the children as a shield against speedy deportation from the U.S. The numbers were released after a full review was done of all children in the custody of Customs and Border Protection in the wake of two illegal immigrant children who died in U.S. hospitals in December. CBP Commissioner Kevin McAllen and most of those needing help were ill when they arrived at the border. Some appeared to have made the initial decision to have even leave while ailing. Many were ill before they departed their homes, the commissioner said. We're talking about cases of pneumonia, tuberculosis, parasites. These are not things that develop urgently in a matter of days. So they're coming here knowing they're sick. And I hate this. Children died in a hospital. I don't care who they are. I love babies. I love children. But they're sick to start with, folks. We can't help them all. We can't. We can't. We can't.
What I want to know is where the bleeding heart liberal wealthy people, they're spending money, tons of gobs for, in South Africa and everywhere else. So why can't they help send some medicine to these Latin American countries? Maybe they are. I shouldn't be so. Hey, I think I've
breakdown.
Got an easy out. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And let's see, what's next, Butch?
Well, I was going to say that, you know, Trump's, of course, down the border now. Talking, I guess, in Texas and other places about his wall. And it seems like he's running in trouble with even from Texas landowners that don't want to give up their land to build the wall on. And I just thought that one lady said that you could give her $1 trillion. She's not going to take it. She doesn't want to sell her land along the Rio Grande to anybody, especially even to build a wall. They don't want it. So he's running into more than just resistance in the Congress. Landowners down there don't seem to want either. So I don't know, Melody. I mean, he's facing a lot of obstacles to just get this thing started. I really don't know what to think about that.
Well, you know, they did question him when he was interviewed last week about eminent domain.
Yes.
And he says he has no problem using it. He says, you know, we wouldn't have the highways and the freeways if we didn't use eminent domain before in the United States. So those people really don't have a choice. You know, they're just going to come in there and take it. And it is interesting to see, it would be interesting to see who owns those properties along the border and so forth. But and how much do they take? How much will they take? And again, you know, you see the eminent domain used in this country. We've seen it, people fighting to keep their properties with the Keystone Pipeline, the last phase of it coming down through from Canada. And it's these are stories you just don't hear very often.
Well, you know, I know this really is affecting some people financially, of course, with the ones that were laid off. And whether you agree or not agree with what they're doing as jobs, I think the TSA is a big, huge waste of money. I think it's just a bunch of police state tactics. That's my opinion. But, you know, the Coast Guard also, which is a constitutional entity, is not getting paid either. And now they're saying that they've been advised maybe they should take up part-time employment, like, babysitting, have a garage sale, or work as a mystery shopper, any way they have to in order to make money coming in. That's what they've been advised to do. Whether that's good or not, that's why it is. And you can imagine, Melody, if you work for a living and have a family to feed, you'd miss a check too. I mean, we all would, wouldn't we?
We would, and I understand the position that these peoples are in. And I mean, I don't want to sound cold-hearted or anything like that, but Trump's really been talking about a government shutdown for a long time.
Yes,
months.
He has. Yes.
Months. You knew this was coming, and that's one thing you can say about President Trump. You know, he's going to take this government shutdown. It's going to be the longest in history. You know, anything that is going to be the best in the history is going to be. So you can bet he's going to do it. But he's been talking about a government shutdown for how long? And the thing of it is, no matter who you work for, there's always the chance that you're going to get laid off. So
yes.
When you first get laid off, the first thing people should do, I mean, isn't that why you have unemployment insurance? Isn't that what people should go down and you should plan for these situations? And what's the first thing that you do? You do go look for something in the meantime. You know, you do kind of hold out to see if things are going to change, you know, in a couple days, or if it's going to be on long, if it's going to be, you know, longer than a week or so forth. People, we got to learn to take care of ourselves.
That's the whole point. We have to get money independent again, you know. And, of course, it said this even affecting home buyers, that were people that worked on these jobs and think about buying homes. They had to, you know, they can't. Said about 40,000 mortgages have been caught up in this, that people are going to buy homes, and they think they're not going to do it now. And they said the TSA union said the officers are quitting over the shutdown, and it's posing a threat to safety. I can't speak to all this. But again, the TSA, in my mind, is a government agency that shouldn't have been put in place in the first place. I know people say, well, it's for our own security. No. It's called a police state, Melody. Well, yes. I get so frustrated when I go to the airport, and I very seldom fly. I don't like to fly that well because of this reason. I have to prove that I'm innocent. I have to prove that I'm not guilty. I have to prove that I'm not a terrorist in order to get on the plane that I bought a ticket for to fly to see my grandchildren, for example. Why do I have to prove I'm not a terrorist? As long as I'm not doing anything wrong, leave me the heck alone. Is that fair enough?
Seems fair to me.
You know, I mean, I flew all around the world once in the military. No one ever, and I mean, everybody did. You didn't stop at the gates. Matter of fact, you could walk right, everybody could walk right down to the gate with you to see you off. And they did do that. And all of a sudden, because of some planes got hijacked to Cuba, they clamped down all of us. We're paying out billions of dollars for police actions in the airports. So I have to take my shoes off, take my belt off, empty my pockets, and go through these lines and get wand and whatever else got to be done in order to board a plane from my privilege to travel. No longer a right to travel. It's a privilege to travel. And I, for one, am sick of it. If the whole TSA and people say, well, it's going to stop terrorism. I'm saying this, people need to check it out. I don't know of any terrorists have been caught so far by TSA. I may be wrong on that. But I read a while back that they've actually been able to sneak guns through TSA. People have been, you know, they'll do that to see if the people are going to catch or not. I don't know of any terrorists have been stopped by TSA. Do you know of any of them?
I haven't heard.
I haven't either. So, billions of dollars have been spent here for something that's doing no good. And I, for one, get angry when I'm accused of being a criminal and have to prove I'm not in order to travel to see my grandchildren. It makes me angry, Melody. I know it's probably old-fashioned and corny and outdated, but I'm the kind of guy that believes that if you're doing what's right, if someone's doing what's right, don't bother. If they're good people, they're not breaking any laws, leave them alone. Let them live free.
Well, that is true, but there's so many people out there who aren't.
And, well, I realize
that. I'm not sticking up to the TSA.
I understand that, but they've caught nobody. What are they doing?
You know, and it's just a matter of, you know, shuttling cattle down the aisles. And
that's it.
And, you know, it's all about control. It's all about, and we've given up. Nobody ever complained. And I can remember when TSA first came about after 9/11, and I was talking to someone. It's like, well, you know what, I really don't care if they pat me down and all this kind of stuff. And I looked at her, and I says, well, how are you going to feel when you take your little girl to the airport? And they pat her down. Are you going to like that too? You know, and all of us people don't think beyond, you know, the consequences. And it's, I can remember I used to fly for my business when I worked for insurance and the banks, and I had multi-state territories, so I flew a lot. I could remember getting to the airport 2 minutes before the plane took off. I'd be running down down through the concourse, you know, trying to board that plane, and they'd say, well, we were waiting for you. You know, you board, you get on, and the plane took off. Those were the old days. Those were the good old days. That was when flying was actually fun, yeah.
They were the good old days when travel, it really was fun.
It was fun.
And if you got a long ways to go and a short time to get there, if you only got a few days to say, my grandchildren live in Colorado Springs, four of them do, I only got a week to see them. Well, mm-hmm. If I drive it, it's 2 days both ways. And that's pushing it. But if I fly it, I'll be there in 6 hours. So I want to get there quickly because I want to spend time with them. But I have to go through a police state scenario to get to see my grandchildren. I'm 70 years old now. I've never been in jail. I never committed a crime. I ain't had maybe 2 speeding tickets my whole life. I'm not bragging about being a good guy. I'm just saying they know me before I get there. Believe me, they know who I am before I go through that gate. Why are they bothering me? I mean, come on.
I don't know.
They know who we are. You know the records are out there about you and me both.
Absolutely.
They know that.
Well, you know,
move on to something else you want to, but go ahead.
Well, the White House is urging allies to prepare for possible Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a replacement for her. She missed oral arguments. President Trump's team is beginning early groundwork for another potential confirmation battle. And she missed oral arguments Monday, I believe, for the first time in 25 years. And she was originally nominated to the court by President Bill Clinton in 1993. So they say she's recovering, but, you know, we're not quite sure, you know, that she would actually come back this time, because she really is up there in age. So this would be number three for President Trump.
And I say this might make me angry, but it's no big loss. She's voted against everything decent in this country for a long time. She really has. That's just the way it is. She stood against anything moral, any kind of morality. She's voted against for a long, ever since she's been in there.
Yep.
Just a fact.
So there's also There was the Fed chairman today. He did a speech. He was at a luncheon, I believe, and he's talking about the debt. He says he's very worried about it. It's a long-run issue that we definitely need to face. We have no choice but to face it. With the debt, we talked about this yesterday, almost $22 trillion, of which $16 trillion is owed by the public. The sustained annual U.S. debt is now to believe more than $1 trillion, is in part because of continue of the rate increases under Powell, the interest costs of the debt could start to become bigger and bigger burden, but mainly the government overspends. That's what it is about. But he says he's worried about it, and the long-run fiscal non-sustainability of the U.S. federal government isn't really something that plays into the medium term that is relevant for policy decisions. It's a long-run issue, and, you know, ladies and gentlemen, what they're going to do after you first is come after your Social Security and your benefits. That is where that will be. So just another reminder.
And how about the funds and the properties of the people that have worked all their lives but have been able to save up? That may be part of it too, don't you think?
On what part?
A part that people have been able to save working 40-some years, 50 years. They got a home that they own, and they make a little bit of savings. Why wouldn't you touch that also?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All these retirement accounts, these pension accounts, you betcha. You know, it's just money sitting there waiting to be taken.
Yep.
And
I agree.
It's...
And the show, which way we're heading to, about jobs-wise, this is kind of scary. A venture capitalist by the name of Kai Fu Lee says AI will displace 40% of world's jobs in as soon as 15 years. Now, that's something to think about. This probably is on 60 Minutes. It's not something made up. It's on 60 Minutes on Sunday the 7th. In as soon as 15 years, 40% of the world's jobs could be done by machines, according to one of the world's foremost experts on AI. Kai Fu Lee, a pioneer in AI and venture capitalist based in China, makes his prediction in a Scott Pelley report about AI on the next edition of 60 Minutes on Sunday, January 7th. AI will increasingly replace repetitive jobs, not just for blue-collar work, but a lot of white-collar work, says Lee. Chauffeurs, truck drivers, anyone who does driving for a living, their jobs will be disrupted more and more in the next 15-25-year period, Frank. Many jobs that seem a little bit complex, chef, waiter, a lot of things will become automated, already is, folks, starting. Stores, restaurants, and altogether in 15 years, that's going to displace 40% of the jobs in the world. When pressed by Pelley about 40% of the jobs being displaced, he said the jobs will be displaceable. I believe it's going to change the world more than anything in the history of mankind. More than electricity, said Lee. You know, if this is true, it will change the world, Melody. 40% of the jobs gone, that's a lot of people not working. That's probably why they're going to have the guaranteed basic income. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And this is something that governments can't do anything about because they're all broke.
Sure,
nobody has any money to invest. You know, we can't even do infrastructure. We go deeper in debt just to service the debt. So there's no money for any type of development, any type of research, any type of, you know, make this change. So what is going to happen?
I don't know how
it's going to be plenty. And no, you know, it's I was reading an article on real estate, the real estate business, how artificial intelligence is taking over so many positions from the inspections, from completing mortgage applications, from processing, where people used to do it, no more. So it's being done by computers. It's having a big impact in that industry, but you don't hear anybody talking about it. They all turn into real estate agents.
Well, it used to be, you know, you could go get a job in McDonald's flipping burgers, but that's going to be done by machines, too. Now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know? And so if you go online, look this up. Tokyo's talking subway robots. Now, this is for real now. Tokyo's having a labor shortage. And Arisa, the humanoid robot receptionist, is demonstrating during the International Robot Exhibition 2017. It's been almost 2 years ago. As thousands of Olympic organizers, Tokyo city administrators, and local and foreign volunteers scurry to prepare for the upcoming 2020 Summer Games, another somewhat less anxious worker named Arisa is getting ready too. Facing an influx of Olympic spectators, as well as an aging population and low birth rate that has resulted in national labor shortage, Japan is turning to robotics to help handle the demand for workers. Arisa, a project by the Tokyo Metropolitan Government, is a 6-foot, now this is a big woman, a 6-foot guide robot that will work in the subway stations to show passengers the way to restrooms and lockers, offer transit directions, and recommend tourist attractions in the area. Developed by the Japanese tech company Aruz Gaming in Chicago, Chicago-headquartered THK, she's wide-eyed, sharply dressed, and can speak in Japanese, English, Chinese, and Korean. She's also accompanied by a touchscreen monitor. This is right now. Well, I mean, Melody, this is something to think about. I mean, the robots, do you remember there was a movie out years ago called Stepford Wives? You remember that?
Yes.
And replace the wives with robots. Now, all that science fiction, that can never happen. Well, they're starting to do it. They're starting to bring in, they almost look alive, robots. Men and women come by for the house. And now they're going to put them in the subways in Japan to take care of the customers in the subway. I mean, what's your opinion on that?
I don't know why they'd actually have women robots. I mean, all they'd have to have is a machine, you know, punch this number and take your ticket and get on the train.
But this will lead you. This will show you around, though. It can literally show you around.
Oh.
Yeah, it can take you. It'll walk you through the subway.
Well, I'm going to walk us to the next break, so we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Financial Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. I just want to go ahead and, if I can bring this up on my computer, we're going to take a look at gold today in the New York spot price aftermarket. Let's see, is it still trading? It's still open for another couple of minutes, but we're looking at 750 for gold, down 1,286.70, silver $15.63, platinum 823, palladium $1,336. The USDX today was stronger by 0.37, 95.56, crude oil 52.42, and the paper markets, the Dow was up. Let me get to those numbers. It's a little bit better. It was up 122. It ticked through from the top of the program. It finished up a couple points higher than it just amazes me, because you'd think right at 4 o'clock it would stop and nothing else should tick through. But, hey, we got to get those trades through. 24,001. Up 122. NASDAQ was 6,986, up 28. The S&P was up 11 at 2,596. You know, Butch, heading into the break, we were talking about the AIs and the robots and so forth.
Right.
And
right.
You know, it's all by design, ladies and gentlemen, because when there was a report out, this is in the Daily Mail, and this is from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. Fertility rates for white women were down in every U.S. state in 2017, below the rate needed for the population to replace itself. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the real reason. This is the agenda. Among black and Hispanic women, fertility rates were up in 12 and 29 states, respectively. When researchers looked at fertility rates for women of all age groups and races, they found that the nationwide rate was 16% lower than what it is considered the level for a population to replace itself. And additionally, the U.S. white population has been hit hard by the Great Recession of 08 and 09, and, of course, aging. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, these are the real issues. But it's all by design. It's all their agenda. And no state in 2017 had a total fertility rate for white women that was above the population replacement level. And what the population needs to exactly replace itself from one generation to the next. So,
Well, the family unit's been attacked. The family unit, when you destroy the family, you destroy a nation.
Yeah.
It's over. And yeah. When they don't produce enough to even cover the ones they're losing, then the society's dying.
There were only two states that had the rates above the population level, and that was South Dakota, which I would think would be easy, since I don't know how many people live in. I mean, you know, the population is limited, and I know we have listeners in South Dakota, so I don't mean to, but I don't think your population is the same as, you know, the rest of the nation. And Utah, and of course Utah, we know the answer is the Mormon population. So,
yes, they keep multiplying. That's true.
Yes,
but again, attacking the families is what destroys society. When the family unit is destroyed, there's nothing left. And that's why Satan came after the family so hard for so many years.
Well, no, I think you hear all this, we want the illegals in for voting to get people. No, this is the reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the reason.
Okay. take down the cultural basis of America. It was founded, and people like to hear this, maybe it's founded by white European Christians as a whole. Take it down and destroy destroy the nation. And they're doing it.
And they're doing it.
They're doing it. You know, I mean, people don't want to hear that. I can't help it. It doesn't change the truth.
Because we react. They know how we're going to react.
Yeah. Yeah.
They know how they spend billions of dollars to figure out how we're going to react.
Well, you know, of course, if you speak this way, Melody, a lot of people won't say that we're racist, we're bigots, whatever they want to call us, and that simply is a lie,
not
a plain flat out lie.
But I have no hate in my heart whatsoever.
No way. But it's telling the truth of what's happening. It is telling the truth. It is culturally destroying our nation. We were founded, and I can prove this beyond a shadow of a doubt, as a Christian society. I can prove that. But when they destroy that, it's already been destroyed. That part's already over with. It really is. Now they're destroying the family, and they're cutting back on populations, especially the people that at one time this nation were the cultural backbone for the country. They're destroying that, and it's intentional. It's not by chance. It's intentional. Now, I'm going to share something with you now I think you might find interesting, too. This is really a sad story, Mel. You may not know this. I don't know. But drugs and syringes have become such a problem in Starbucks bathrooms that the company is installing needle disposal boxes in certain locations. Now, is that sad or what? An uncapped needle at a Starbucks worker said she found in the trash in December 2018. It says that Starbucks is installing needle disposal boxes in some bathrooms, as well as exploring other solutions to workers' concerns regarding improperly discarded syringes and their related health risk. More than 3,700 people signed a petition on coworkers.org calling for Starbucks to place needle disposal boxes in high-risk bathrooms. Starbucks workers reported finding blood and needles in bathrooms, as well as being pricked by improper discarded needles, risking exposure to HIV and hepatitis. The decision to install needle disposal or sharps boxes in Starbucks bad locations could help prompt change in the restaurant industry, making workers' jobs safer amid the opioid epidemic. Man, that is so sad. That is so sad.
You know, and here's another case. You know, they're not going after the big pharma who created the opioids and promoted it and pushed it onto the medical field and saying that, you know, this is not addictive at all. You're not going to have any issues with this. And then you had everybody being pushed, and it is highly addictive. But no one's held responsible. No one really cares. And so we'll just blame, you know, a blank, to make us fear something else. Fentanyl comes from China, you know. I mean, there's just so much misinformation that's floating around.
We're in Afghanistan making sure that the heroin gets over here just fine.
Yeah.
We are. The CIA, I know this from personal sight with my own eyeballs. When I was stationed in Udon, Thailand, they flew body bags full of heroin on C-130s out of that airport. I was there. And I didn't know it was wrong because I thought, well, we're Americans. They must be doing something really good with it. That's how dumb we were. That's why they draft or get people 18, 19 years old. It's too dumb what's going on in the military. I was naive enough to think they were doing the right thing. But with my own eyeballs, I saw that happen. So the CIA has been and always will be big-time drug pushers. And now we're seeing the results of it in this country. Mel Gibson several years ago made a movie about that called Air America. I believe he could have done better with some of the less abusive language, but he made a point of what they were doing there. And I was surprised he actually lived through it. I thought he would kill him. I knew his dad at the time, and even he was a bit concerned about what happened to me after he made that movie, exposing CIA. True story.
Well, you know what? Yeah, and who was the head of the CIA at that point in time?
It was Bush.
Daddy Bush.
Yep.
Daddy Bush. Yep.
But we're seeing this, and
talk about all their wealth and everything like that. Well, where do you think they get it? Most of the people that have that type of wealth don't get it by working hard.
You're very true. But don't worry. Don't worry. We're going to be good in 2020 because Kamala Harris, a senator from California, is going to announce her run for president in 2020. And even better, the Democrats are talking about helping or pushing Michelle Obama to run for office. I mean, she's the most admired woman in 2018. That's what she's voted. And more popular than Hillary and Oprah. So they expect that the Democrats are going to try maybe to push her to run in 2020. Melody, we are so... Let's just forget about it. Let's go fishing and take about a two-year-off period because these women are going to fix this place.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. If you look at the numbers of the election between Trump and Hillary, I'm afraid that she could possibly pull it off.
I think you probably all right.
Of all of the idiots, of all the little pictures that I've seen, what, the whole 25 or 30 of them? I think she could pull it off.
Well, you know, Trump won, they said, by landslide, but actually he didn't win by that big a margin in actual votes. Now, the Electoral College got elected, but he actually was not that much ahead in popular vote.
And that's why these Democrats are trying to get rid of the electoral votes, too. They're trying to make
changes
on that.
Which will do away totally with their... They are. That's why that the direct voting for the office is unconstitutional. It changes from a republic to a democracy, which was never intended to be. This nation was never intended to be a democracy. But it's taken. They moved it all to popular vote to make us more... more susceptible, I guess, to what people desire, and the rights of the minority are not recognized when the majority
right.
rules.
That's what they're trying
that,
to
folks.
Do, and I'm afraid I don't like to say this. I think she could beat Trump. I don't think
he
would be able. I don't think he can do to her what he did to Rubio. What he did to Cruz, what he did to all the—he can't do that to her. And but I think that's the only way he knows how to fight and to win. So I go 2020.
Is almost here.
Is almost here.
It's almost here. I mean, they'll start campaigning, probably the middle or the spring of next year.
Yeah.
I mean, 2020s, they'll probably start this year. Some of them already are.
There'll probably be debates at the end of this year.
I wouldn't doubt that. So we will see what happens. But yeah, you're right. I'm a little nervous about that, too. I really am. People will laugh if they want to. But I wouldn't laugh at this. This is very serious.
I laughed about Oprah. There's no way she, you know, Oprah, Hillary, you know, most of them. You know, her, she's got a chance.
Yep, I totally agree. I do.
That is frightening.
If I don't concern you, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Something very wrong.
People love her. The Democrats love her. And the bleeding hearts out there, they love her. So anyway...
We'll go from there. By the way, this may be old news to you, but I want to share this because I thought it was kind of interesting. In India, which is, you know, what, is the second most populated country in the world, is that right? Am I right on that?
Yes.
I believe. They have a railroad company put out a job opening announcement for 63,000 jobs coming available in India on the railroad. Guess how many people signed up? To get the job.
Tell me.
19 million.
That all?
That's all. 63,000 job vacancies and 19 million people applied. I don't think they have a workforce scarcity over there at all. But it said the country's not grown fast enough to generate enough jobs for the people. But 19 million applied for 63,000 jobs. Now that's competition.
Yeah, it is. And tomorrow, I'm going to talk in the first 20 minutes of the program, before James Corbett joins us, I'm going to talk about where are the countries, as far as the largest economies, are going to be standing in 2030, which is only 10 years away. And we are no longer number one, which I don't think is any big surprise. But it is when you see the spreads of GDP. Between the countries, and of course India is playing a big part in that also, so I'll be talking about that a little bit tomorrow. The numbers are, you know, but this is where we are, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it is.
So
I think we're dropped third.
We're not number
third.
We won't be number one anymore.
I agree. But, you know, that should... I don't know. Maybe... I don't understand how I can see it's a plain meaning that many people can't. With the way things are going in this country economically, period. I don't care what you say about it. If I talk to people every day. Everyday people tell me that they're having struggle. They're struggling to make the bills. Even though they're working, they're struggling to pay the bills. And I don't know why they don't look beyond the fiat currency, the fiat money, whatever you want to call it, and look to something that's substantial. And I'm talking about material things you can hold in your hands to protect what you have. And, of course, you've been selling gold and silver now for a long, long time. And from personal experience, it has saved my butt more than once and kept one of my sons from having a surgery that could actually saved his life. That's a true story. So these are things that I saw 20 years ago or in that area, and it's gotten much worse since then. So with all this we see happening, and America's economy dropped to the point that we're going to already number three in the world and probably going down a lot further in the near future. We see who's running for office here. The socialists are gaining ground every day. The communists are gaining ground every day, like Cortez. People have got to start realizing, Melody, if they don't protect themselves, they're going to be in a mess. Nobody else can do it for them.
I think one of the greatest things that I think President Trump has done is I'd like to think that he has maybe opened the eyes of a lot of people. Now, I don't know if they've actually, maybe we can talk about that next week, Butch.
We're flat out of time already.
And I know we are. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. And thank you, Butch.
You're welcome. See y'all later.
Bye-bye.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.